almost 13 years ago, Bobby and I were living in Lorain, Ohio. I was a youth pastor for Pastor Caton, and then I moved into like an assistant pastor role, associate pastor role, and I'd been doing that for a little while. We came here on vacation, and we were in Estero, staying in Estero, decided to go to the next exit to see what was there, and then the next exit. And when we got off of the Mockley Road, something leaped in my spirit, and I knew that God was calling me, and I called him on the phone. I said, "Pastor, I think I want to start a church." And he said, "Well, I could tell you God's doing something new in your heart, and when you get home, we'll begin to talk about it." And we went to a little coffee shop and sat down, and he sat across from the table from me, and he said, "I'm telling you right now, God has shown me that there are people waiting on you to start this church. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you." And then he began to just speak life into my dream, and we moved here, started the church. Didn't know anybody in town, didn't have any friends here, had never spent the night in Naples. I had Destiny wasn't a teenager then. We had a teenage boy and then a little daughter that I just looked at Jordan. He was a junior in high school, playing basketball, playing on the golf team. And I said, "Jordan, I think God wants me to start a church." And he said, "Well, you better do it in Florida because I'm going to play golf the rest of my life." So if you want to be close to me, that's where I'm going to be. And we just began to pray about it. But in his junior year of high school, we pulled him out. He came here, went to Barron Collier, played golf, went to PGM school, Gulf Coast University, became a golf pro. And our family it was the best decision that I have ever made, other than following Christ, coming here and having all of you be here every week. It's just amazing. But I've got leaders, pastors, counsel in my life. I've got a pure presbytery board of pastors that speak into my life on a regular basis. I've got a board that speak into my life. And everybody's been telling me for a long time, "We've grown to such a place, you can't keep doing this on your own." And I'm like, I got it. We can do this. It's doing well. And they've been speaking to me about, you got to get somebody, you got to get some help in your life. And I've been just praying about it and just asking God, you know, where do we go from here? You know, we bought the new property. We've got so much going on. 3 services now. All the services are full, and it's like God's doing great things. And I feel good. I physically feel good. But when you have people looking in your eyes saying, "Listen, this, you can't keep doing this. You got to get some help." I've just been listening and saying, "Okay, God, how do we do this?" Years ago, when we started the church, we'd been here for a little while, and Joe and Gail were our friends. That Gail actually led worship in our AM service, the early service, at our church in Ohio, and then went back to her church in Cleveland, and so we kind of disconnected for a little while. After we got here for a little bit, they came down to see us and come on vacation, and I was a little manipulative, I have to admit. Because all the kids, we were all in the pool and in the hot tub, and it was dark. And I had learned that if you look through a screen cage at the moon, in a pool cage, if you look up at the moon, it puts a cross on the moon. And so we were all sitting in the hot tub, and I said to Joe, I said, "You know, Joe, when we came here, I asked God to give me a sign that I was supposed to move to Florida. Because I didn't know where to go. I was thinking Raleigh, North Carolina, and I had all these things in my heart. And I asked God to give me a sign, and I looked up, and God put a cross on the moon." And he said, maybe if you ask God to give you a sign, and if you look up at the moon and you see a cross, you'll know you're supposed to move here. And Joe looked up there, and he went, "No way. No way." So he stayed. Gail went back home, sold the house. They moved down here as our worship pastors. They've been with us for a long time. And it was shortly after that, a young man that we were personal friends up in Ohio. We were close, like brothers. His wife, Amy, was in our youth group. She took care of Jordan when he was a baby. Amy was in our house all the time. She took care of Jordan. Then she went away to Bible college, met Jason, married Jason. And they were dear friends of ours. And so Jason pastored a church up in Ohio for 8 years. And then he moved to Indiana. And then after years, he and Amy felt a call of God to come alongside of us, and they sold everything up in Indiana, and they moved here. And when they got here, Amy was with us for a little while, and she started doing children's ministry. And then Jason was helping us set up when we were at Gulf Coast. He was building sets, helping get the trailers unpacked. And then after that, he got involved in the first-time visitors and meeting visitors. And then shortly after that, he and I and Joe and another guy named Danny that used to be at our church, we put together the sermon prep team. And every week we would meet and we would just plan out sermon series. And they would just give life to me about, Pastor, you could do this and we could create that set and we could come up with this. And we just sat around the table and just talked about sermon series. And then shortly after that, he got hired at a company in town. It was a big company in town. And they promoted him to run the business. And it was a multi-million dollar business. And he's been running that for the last 6 or 7 years. And recently, I've just been praying about what to do. And so he and I, this week, we took 2 days. We left Thursday morning, and we spent all day Thursday and all day Friday literally on our faces before God. Eating carpet, really. I mean, Jason was like, I can't believe you had your face in the carpet. I'm like, he goes, you don't know who's been here. What kind of, I'm like, But literally, we went away and we just unpacked our hearts. And I just shared vision. I shared direction. And we just sat there and prayed and cried, Bill. I mean, we held each other and cried and prayed for God's direction. And I felt like that I got a word. And so I want to introduce to you, because I really feel like I'm heeding to the voices of a lot of great spiritual leaders around me that I need to get some help. And so I've asked Jason if he would come on staff here at the church and be an administrative pastor here at the church and to help us lead. So I'm going to ask Jason, you and Amy and Austin, if you'd come up. Bobby, why don't you come up? And I want to introduce to the church body, this is our new administrative pastor and his wife and family. Would you just come on one more time, give them a great big welcome. Amen. Amen. If you would you just stretch out your hands and let's just pray over Jason and his family. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Jason's willingness to come alongside of us. We thank you, Lord God, that you will open just doors, Lord, that he will be able to help and to administrate the move of God, that the fire of God would be upon him. And Lord, as we advance the kingdom, Lord, I pray that you'd give us creative ideas and ways of administrating and keeping this movement going, God, and that you would just bless and prosper their life and their family. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. One more time, give Pastor Jason and Amy and Austin a great big hand. I love you, baby. Amen. And we'll get Jason up here. I mean, he preached for us not too long ago. He's a great communicator of the gospel, and I'm excited about the next chapter. Man, if you have your Bibles, let's get into the Word together. We're going to start in where we were last week. I don't think it's a series, but it's definitely a couple messages that the Lord has birthed in my heart on moving mountains and being a mountain mover. And Mark 11, 22 to 24, most people of faith would be real familiar with the passage, but I think it's good to read it again and look at it together. It's where we were last week, Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done for him, he will have whatever he says. In verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Everybody say mountain mover. We are a church that believes in moving mountains. Faith moves mountains. Last night I was listening to Dr. Summerall preach, and I was just listening to one of his old sermons as he was preaching about faith, and he said, faith is basically trust. If you want another word for faith, you got to just believe. Faith is trust. And God says, if you trust me, you can move the mountains. If you put your faith in me, the Bible says to each one is given the measure of faith. We're all given faith, and then we determine at what level we will operate in that faith. When you come to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, faith is deposited in your heart, and then you have a responsibility now to grow that faith, to mature that faith, to study God's word, to trust and depend upon him. Faith moves mountains. The way God operates on the earth right now is through faith. There are two kingdoms. We all know this, right? Two kingdoms, the kingdom of lightness and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of dark. The kingdom of the kingdom of life and the kingdom of death. And you determine by your lifestyle what kingdom you're operating out of. And when you operate in the kingdom of God, you become a mountain mover. You become a faith walker and a faith talker. And everything you do is motivated by a faith in a loving God. This is what spiritual warfare looks like. You have to line yourself up with what kingdom you're in. What will be your vocabulary? What will you say? What will you believe? Listen, it's not that God can't do something. God can do anything. If God can raise me from the dead, he can move your mountain. If he can raise me from the dead, he can change your situation. But you've got to align yourself up in a faith position and begin to speak to that mountain and say, mountain, you're going to move. This is what spiritual warfare looks like. Listen, there are not four ways to get to heaven. There are not three ways to get to heaven. There are not two, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that is to become in alignment with a faith walk and a faith talk and a faith lifestyle. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to get to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus still heals people. That didn't pass away in the with the disciples. Jesus is still healing people, and it's not he heals who he wants to heal. Come on. If that's your mindset, it's like, well, maybe God will heal me, maybe God won't heal me. You're not going to receive your healing. You've got to get into a place of faith and go, it is God's will to heal my body, and I will receive my healing. My health is on its way. I am the healer of the Lord protecting my health. Listen, our Savior opens blinded eyes. You read in the Word where he opened blinded eyes. He's still opening blinded eyes. He's still unstopping deaf ears. He's still walking on water. He's still turning water into wine. He's a miracle-working God. The God that we serve, that we are connected to, is still a miracle-working God. And nothing is impossible if you can believe. Naples needs to get ready for a move of God. Come on, we need to shake this place for a move of God and believe that Jesus is still on his throne and he wants to set believers free. We'd be shocked if we knew how many people in this room right now are living in bondage. Believers following Jesus, following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but still because of a mindset, because of a mental mountain, still living in bondage. There are mental mountains that limit our faith. Mental mountains are things that are built up in the minds of people. Things just get built up in the minds of people. Mental mountains are the result of religious talk that isn't scriptural. Because we heard as a little boy or a little girl, we heard this and people have taught us this. And so you're receiving all this, these doctrines of devils that are infiltrating our minds and building these mountains in our minds that are stopping a move of God. And you and I have got to begin to look at it. We got to review our hearts and say, what's a mental mountain in my life? What's stopping me from advancing the kingdom of God? You can only do and receive what you believe. If you don't believe the mountain can move, you won't even try. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Say it with me. All things are possible. All things are possible. Do you believe God wants his kids free from bondage? I mean, do you really believe God wants you to have mental freedom and not living in bondage, not living in oppression? God wants us free from mental mountains. We've got the task of moving the mountains. We've been given the mandate to move the mountains. God wants his believers full of power and full of faith. Somebody visited our church last week, and I reached out and said, hey, how did you like your visit? And they go, wow, you guys sure are people that love God. I went, yes, we are. It sure is passionate in there. Yes, we are. Who are we called to be in the kingdom of God? Are we called to be people that just sit down and fold our arms, hear three little quiet songs, hear a poem, hear a story, and go home and do nothing? Are we called to be mountain movers, people who are planet shakers and newsmakers who are just walking into situations and circumstances and declaring, your God is able? The glory of God wants to fill our house. The glory of God wants to fill our lives. And this generation has been exposed to so many lies and so many doctrinal error, so much doctrinal error. We've just believed so much garbage, and the enemy has let it, and we've allowed it to build up mental mountains in our minds. There are more people needing deliverance on the earth right now than ever before. Do you believe that? There are more people needing deliverance than ever. And there are not more demons than there used to be. The demons aren't having babies and having new demons. Like, you know, there was a third of the angels that left heaven and they became demons. There are no more. That's all there is. But it seems like there is an elevated level of deliverance that needs to happen on the earth right now. It's because we have so much access to the lies and to the garbage, and our minds are being filled with all these lies of untruth. And it's overwhelming the lies that are being told to our kids. Like, you get to choose your own identity now. You want to be a boy? You just start wearing pants and you start acting like a boy and wear sports bras so you don't have to. You can look like a boy, act like a boy, and you can be a boy. No, you can't. God made you who you are. You don't get to choose. You want to be a girl. You can go have all the operations you want to have, but you can't reproduce. You're not a girl. You know what I'm saying? And these kids have been told all these lies, and it's just being this whole inclusive, you know, be inclusive, and God does love everybody, but he's not happy with how everybody's living. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that we gotta bring exposure to the darkness, and we gotta look at the mental mountains that are being built up in our lives and acknowledge them and begin to tear them down. Sickness is not from God. I don't care who tells you, well, you know, God put this on you so you can learn a lesson. I think the Holy Spirit is a lot better teacher than cancer. Huh? Small thinking is a mental mountain. It's a mental mountain. And we've bought into the lie sometimes that just small. It's just keep it small. Don't just keep it manageable. When God says, you know what? I am a big God. I'm a God of increase, not a God of decrease. I am a God of more than enough, not a God of just enough. If you would get a mindset that says, my God is a big God, and he's able to bless me big, and I am able to be a blessing big. We serve an exceedingly abundantly above God. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. What he's saying is, I am forever a God of increase. I'm not a small God. I'm not a defeated God. I am a more than enough God. That's a mental mountain. Here's some mental mountains that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Huh? I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, Pastor Greg. Well, you don't. I get that. But if you're a Christian, you'll go to church. The only thing that Jesus said he would build is the church. He didn't say he would build your house. He said, I will build my house. I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I understand, you know, just because you park in a garage don't mean you're a car. I get that. But let me tell you something about the house of God, the church. Jesus gave his life for the church, and I believe in the church. It's a mental mountain. I've heard people say, you know what, I don't want to go to a big church. I just want to go to a small church. I don't have anything against small churches. But let me tell you something. I never tried to be a big church, Keith. I've never tried to be a big church, but I don't want to be a small church. I don't want to be a small church. Huh? Anything that is alive is growing. And if it stops growing, you better check your pulse and see what's going on, because your God is a God of increase. And as we grow, we don't want to lose the heart of who we are as a small church, but we can't stay a small church. We've got a mandate from God to reach a city, to reach a state, and declare over the world, Jesus is more than enough. And you can't stay small doing that. You got to open up your hearts and say, God is growing us. It's a mental mountain. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I'm really praying that our church doesn't grow because I like it to be a small church. You're at the wrong church. You're at the wrong church. Huh? Pray we keep the heart of a small church. Pray we keep the love of a small church. Pray that we keep our eyes on people and not steeples. Pray that we get a mandate in our heart of why we are a church and why we're in a city. We're not here just to make a feel-good place for you. We're not here so you can have a comfortable seat and hear a cute message. We're here for you to engage in moving mountains and changing an environment, changing an atmosphere. Say, no, I will change the atmosphere of this place. Another mental mountain. If you believe in your mind that you're not good enough for God to bless you, you're not going to live in the blessing. It's a mental mountain. Well, I'm not good enough. And God blesses other people, but he doesn't bless me because I'm just not good enough. That's a mental mountain. God doesn't bless you because you're good enough. He blesses you because he's good enough. He blesses you because he is more than enough. When you honor God with your life, the blessing will follow your life. When you honor God with your life and you say, God, every day I'm going to wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. It's time to impact this world. God said the blessing will follow you. And everywhere you go, the devil will have to get up and leave. Come on. That's who we are as believers. Poverty's not from God. It's a mental mountain. If you look up the definition of poverty, it is a mental state of being poor. There's nothing wrong with being poor. I've been poor. There's something wrong with staying poor. Huh? There's something wrong with a mindset that keeps you locked into a poverty thinking and a poverty mindset. My dad always lived on welfare. I'm going to live on welfare. My dad never owned a house. I'll continue to rent a house. I probably never own a house, Pastor Greg, because that's just not in my bloodline. Let me tell you something about your bloodline. Your bloodline ended when you got on your knees and said, Jesus, come into my heart. You got royal blood flowing in your veins now. You're a royal priest of a holy nation, and you are not attached to the bloodline of your past. You're attached to the bloodline of your future. Amen. Poverty is a mental mountain. It's a curse. It's not a money issue. It's a spiritual issue. Being poor isn't the issue. Staying poor is the issue. Poverty is a curse that stops the growth of a whole nation. Haiti's living under a curse of poverty. It's a mindset that they live in. But I'm here tell you, we're raising up young people in the nation of Haiti who will speak to that mountain and say, you're going to move. I may not have a lot of stuff, but I got a lot of peace. I may not have a lot of property, but I got a lot of joy. I'm not living in the curse of poverty because I got a mindset that says God is more than enough. If you believe it, give God a praise, everybody. Listen, this morning I'm dealing with spirits. I'm dealing with principalities that are over regions. You cannot be free from any spirit that you're in agreement with. If you get one of these mental mountains in your mind and you're living in agreement with that, you are never going to be set free. And I'm telling you, God wants you set free. Salvation just wasn't to bring you and give you heaven. Salvation was to teach you how to live on the earth, how to live in the blessing, and how to distribute the blessing to everybody you come in contact with. I tell you, mental mountain, that praise is optional. Praise is optional. It's here in this building. No matter what's going on this stage, some of you will still sit there with your arms folded. Praise isn't a style. Well, that's just not my style. It's not a style. Praise is a mandate from heaven. Huh? Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Not optional. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. You need to come into the house with a praise on. You need to come into the house with a dance in your step. You need to come into the house letting everybody around you know, if you don't like praise, this isn't the road for you. I'm just saying. Praise creates an atmosphere, and there are certain things that will only change in certain atmospheres. This is a movement, not a sitting. Huh? It's a movement. There ought to be some movement in you. I know everybody can't jump like I do and can't praise like I do, but you got to praise. It's in you. Do something. Something. Come on, Brooke. You know I'm telling you. Brooke's got her praise on. She's going to get up and praise God. Don't matter her circumstance. Don't matter what others think about her. She's going to get up here and praise God. Why? Because she knows her victory is in her praise. Her victory is in changing the atmosphere around her life. We can move the mountains if you get your praise on. Amen. When the presence of God fills this house, don't fold your arms. Don't sit there. Don't watch. Don't spectate. Participate. Do something. Wave. Do something. Clap. Do something. Move your feet. Something to acknowledge God. You're tearing down walls in this place. You're doing miracles in this place. We welcome the Holy Spirit in this house. We welcome the glory of God in this house. Learn to respond to Him. Don't quench the Spirit. Smile more. At least smile when the praise is going on. At least put a smile on. Show your teeth. Or show where they used to be. Come on. When there's a movement of the glory of God, two things you can count on. One, it's the leading of the Holy Spirit. You can count on it. When there's a movement of the glory of God, when you see the glory of God fill a house, you can count on it. It's a movement of the Holy Spirit. And the other thing you can count on is if you'll participate, there's a rhema word for you. There's a now word for you. In every service, I don't care where you go, if you begin to get your praise on, you'll get a now word from God. Amen? We exist to host His presence. There's no specific pattern or structure that can do that for you. You got to flow in the Holy Spirit. You got to respond to the Holy Spirit. Learn to respond to the Holy Spirit. We attract His presence with worship and hunger. Do you know when the Spirit's attacking you? Can you sense it? Huh? What do you do when He attacks you? What do you do when you feel like you're under attack? Huh? Praise? Yeah. That's what I do. I mean, I praise all the time. I thank God all the time. I think there's a level of praise that is in my life. I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful for golf. I'm so thankful for the dog is gone. My daughter moved away, took the golden retriever. I'm thankful. Every day I wake up, there's no hairballs rolling around my floor. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Boy, I miss my daughter, but I'm so glad that dog is gone, Lord. You're so good. I'm just saying, that's me. You don't have to be that way. I'm just telling you for me, Bill. It's like, I got so many things to thank Him for. I'm a thankful guy. I live thankful for our church. I'm thankful when you call me with problems. I'm not mad. I'm thankful that you're calling me and not in a bar trying to get it figured out with a glass of wine somewhere. I'm glad you're calling the pastor and saying, hey, agree with me. I can't sleep tonight. Let's go. I'm not mad at you. I'm happy. I'm praising. But let me tell you something. There are times, Ken, when I can tell the Spirit, the enemy, the evil one, is trying to contain what God is doing. There's a spirit of confinement, and I feel it over our church. It's like the enemy is trying to confine us and say, you just got to stay right here. You're never going to get over there. I'm not going to let you keep taking territory and advancing the kingdom. And when that happens, Keith, something happens in me. It's like my praise goes into another level. There's a new praise that comes out of my heart, and I'm not sitting back just taking it. I'm not laying down in a fetal position, letting a bear eat my head. I'm standing up saying, devil, you're going to back up. I'm going to grab something. I'm going to throw at him. I'm going to get a praise on, a dance on. You got to go to war and move mountains in your life. You can't allow kill, and destroy. Your God is more than enough. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Give Jesus a shout. Amen. Amen. Miss Gail, come to the keyboard. I gotta give you some things. 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm laying in bed, and I woke up. I just fell asleep, and I woke up, and the Holy Spirit told me to write these down, and I wrote them down for you. Because here's some things. Here's some people in our church. Here's some things right here that God wants to expose to get you delivered. God wants you delivered, and God told me to write them down. And so I know that these are some situations that are in our church, because I'm tired of believers living in bondage. I'm tired of people who love Jesus who are constantly under attack of the enemy and always in spiritual warfare. I'm a spiritual warfare guy, but I'm living in praise. I'm living in expectancy. I'm living with my eyes on the King and the prize. Jesus Christ is the prize. Here's some areas right here. People who need delivered in this church today. People who are watching online. If you're watching, I want you to listen, because I'm going to speak to a spirit that's got its hold on you. I'm going to speak to the death grip that's over your life. There are people in this place right now who have been adopted, who live with bondage because your mother put you up for adoption. And you live with that bondage. You live with that in the back of your mind. There's this weightiness that's over your life. There are parents in this room who have contemplated abortions. Some have had abortions. And you live with that spirit of oppression over your life. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. God knows your past, and He's forgiven your past. He loves you. Number two, people who need delivered in this room and watching online right now. People who have been sexually assaulted in this room, not just women. There are young boys that have been touched inappropriately in this room, and you carry that guilt, and you carry that shame. And some of you, it's this oppression of the enemy. Some of you, there's women in here who have been raped. And you carry that mountain. It's like a big mountain, and it's just an oppression in your heart. Number three, there's chronic disease in here. A chronic disease, that's a disease that's been around for a long time. And you're praying and you're asking God, but it's this disease that just keeps lingering, and you do good for months and then it comes back. It's a chronic disease, and it's a mental mountain. Number four, uncontrollable habits. It's a mountain. Uncontrollable habits. Like things that you've prayed and you fasted and you sought God and you just can't break it. It was a door that was opened as a kid. It was something that you saw or something that happened in your life, and it created this habit, and you just can't get free from it. You pray, but it's without success. Number five, God told me there's mental mountains in this room of uncontrollable fears. Fears of crazy things, man. Just fears. Fears that just show up. Like, wow, I can't believe I have so much fear in my heart. We were little kids in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And my aunt and uncle owned a big farmhouse and a big barn. And all us kids, I was just a little boy. All us kids, all the cousins were up in this barn house, and they started telling scary stories. I probably wasn't more than 4 or 5 years old. And they started telling scary stories. And they said, look, there's a man in black out there. See that man running out there? I'm looking. I'm like, they're here to get us. Man, that put so much fear in my heart. And it opened a door to fear. It opened a door to fear. Sometimes I could be at home and hear a noise, and automatically I want to grab my gun. Something's up. So. Huh? Yeah, I said, Bobby, go check that. See what it is. There's things people put in my heart. I'm sitting there with a gun telling her to go out and look, see what it is. I'll come. But it was put in my heart at a young age. And those fears are real, man. There are people in this room, you have a You have uncontrollable fears that just comes on you. You're always in fear that your husband's going to leave you. He's going to meet somebody else. He's just going to leave me. And you're living with this fear. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Number 7, unforgiveness. It's a spirit. Jesus talks so much about unforgiveness and how it will keep you from the blessing. It'll keep you from living in God's favor. And there are people in the room right here that are living with unforgiveness because of something that happened 20 years ago. Listen, you can't wait till they get right before you forgive. Their forgiveness isn't based on them being right. It's based on you having a right relationship with the Father. It's a spirit. Now, there's people in our church that live in poverty. They're constantly just in struggle all the time with finances. It's a spirit. It's a bondage. I'm not saying God wants everybody to be billionaires. I'm just saying God wants you to live without fear of being poor and without accepting that poor mentality in your mind. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And the poverty is a spirit. There are people in our room right now, there are young people that are dealing with this right now, and I know because I was one of them at one point in my life as a young man, living with obsession with sexual thoughts. Not just men, there are women in here. It's a spirit that causes you, because you've opened a door, you saw something, you heard something, somebody told you a story or something, and now that's infiltrated your mind, and you're living with impure sexual thoughts. I'll just be honest with you. Even sexual desires for the same sex, like boys that are believing that somehow a guy could meet your need better than a woman, or girls that believe somehow that we just want to try it just to see what's like. It's from the pit of hell. It is not God's plan. Come on. And this lie that's being put out there in the media that it's okay and it's acceptable. We love everybody. One sin's not bigger than another sin. But we got to attack these mountains and say, that is not God's way of doing things. Number 9, cycles of depression. Some of you, this is you. You do good for a little while, you're happy, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you go into depression. You don't want to come out of the house. You want to stay home. You don't want to talk to anybody. You want to isolate. And it's not from God. Things that people need to be delivered from in our church. Some of you are angry at God. Angry at God. I am the founding pastor of our church. And I'm telling you, when Roland and Debbie Baxter both died, they were elders at our church. One died of cancer, and then a year later, the next one died of cancer. And there was a part of me that got mad at God. I did everything he told me to do. I prayed, I fasted, I believed, they believed, and they died. But I had to put my big boy pants on and say, you know what? God's good, and God's word is true, and he is a healer. And I just believe right now they're rejoicing in heaven, and they're together in the presence of the living God, and we got to know God is sovereign, and you got to stop being angry at God. He's good. And everything he does is good. Everything. Always questioning God. Almost to the point of blasphemy. It's somebody, God told me this morning. There's a spirit of angry at God that God wants you free from. There's others of you that are just constantly angry. You're angry all the time. Somebody cuts you off, you want to get out, you want to beat them up. You're just angry. You live angry. You come home from work angry. Your wife doesn't even know how to talk to you because she's afraid you're going to be angry at her. That's something she should have done that she didn't do, and there's anger. And God says, I want you free from anger. Here's another one the Lord told me. The Lord told me there's racism in our church. There's racism in the hearts of the people in our church. Just because you got a black friend doesn't mean you're not a racist. Huh? Just because you sit by a person of color today doesn't mean you're not a racist. Tom Harris said there's only one race. God created one race. That's it. There is just the human race. And it's not, listen to me, racism is taught. It's taught. It's handed down from generation to generation. And you say, well, I'm not a racist. Well, let your little girl bring some Hispanic boy home with a bandana on his head and can't speak no English. Who is Hector? Huh? Pastor, I'm not a racist. I like tacos. No. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. There's a violent spirit in here. Some of you have a violent spirit. And the enemy's always whispering in your head violence. Number 14, sickness without a physical cause. There's people in here who have sickness, and you go to the doctor, and they can't find anything wrong with you, but you live in constant sickness. There's no explanation. It just keeps you in bondage. It just keeps you in bondage. I just want everybody in the room today, if in this little two-week message here, God's speaking to you about some area of your life where you have mental mountains. Mental mountains. Maybe it's one of those things I spoke of. Maybe it's just something that I haven't even hit on. But you know there's a mental baggage that you carry around and you live with every day that God wants you free from. I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Just stand up. All over the room. Just stand up. Say, you know what? I got some stuff God's working on me in. I know I'm going to get free. I know I'm going to give this to the Lord. I'm going to give this to the Lord. Amen. I want to speak over you right now. I'm standing, and if I was sitting, I would stand. Because I know there are areas of my life that I'm still living in bondage where God wants me to set free, and I'm just going to speak over you right now. I'm going to speak to that spirit. That's the only way I know to do it. You foul spirit of bondage. You foul spirit of darkness. You lying spirit. Jesus came to set us free, and we are free in Christ. We will not live in bondage. I plead the blood of Jesus over every person living with mental mountains right now, and I declare you to be free in the name of Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved but the name of Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus over every family, over every life. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a praise, everybody. Amen.